le président Donald Trump, je ne peux pas avoir cette même relation. On n'a pas le même âge. Peut-être qu'avec cet âge, il s'attend d'avoir une relation entre un père et son fils.
Ah, vous pensez qu'il vous voit comme, votre, comme, comme son fils?
Je ne sais pas.
Moi, je n'ai pas l'oublié.
Que le fils, pas le plus aimé de tous. Pourquoi pas l'un de ses fils?
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, March the 14th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Karg Island and the Trump administration. They announced a big attack on Karg Island, which is a very important island for Iran. 90% of oil exports take place on Karg Island. And the Trump administration, U.S. President Trump, they launched a military attack on what they claim to be military facilities on Karg Island. They avoided, this time around, hitting oil infrastructure. But the warning from Trump was that if the Strait of Hormuz, the closing of the Strait of Hormuz is not lifted and ships are not allowed to pass through the strait, then the Trump administration will go after the oil infrastructure on Karg Island. Iranian officials have actually confirmed the strike by the United States, and they have also confirmed that the strike did not hit oil facilities. So that has been confirmed by Iran. Now, Trump posted about all of this on Truth Social. So let me read you what the U.S. president said moments ago. At my direction, the United States Central Command executed one of the most powerful bombing raids in the history of the Middle East and totally obliterated every military target in Iran's crown jewel, Karg Island. Our weapons are the most powerful and sophisticated that the world has ever known. But for reasons of decency, I have chosen not to wipe out the oil infrastructure on the island. However, should Iran or anyone else do anything to interfere with the free and safe passage of ships through the Strait of Hormuz, I will immediately reconsider this decision. During my first term and currently, I rebuilt our military into the most lethal, powerful, and effective force by far anywhere in the world. Iran has no ability to defend anything that we want to attack. There is nothing they can do about it. Iran will never have a nuclear weapon, nor will it have the ability to threaten the United States of America, the Middle East, or for that matter, the world. Iran's military and all others involved with this terrorist regime would be wise to lay down their arms and save what's left of their country, which isn't much. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. So it was out of decency that Trump did not go after the oil infrastructure on Karg Island. He's a decent guy. But next time around, he will go after the oil infrastructure on Karg Island. So what Iran has to do is they have to allow the free and safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz, which was happening without any problems before Trump launched this war. Ships were passing through the Strait of Hormuz, no problem whatsoever. Before late February. So Karg Island, everyone is talking about Karg Island now. Notice how Trump is now using the word terrorist regime when talking about Iran. I have to tell you, his rhetoric about Iran is getting very alarming. He's calling it the terrorist regime. He's called them scumbags. The leadership, I believe, he said scumbags. I talked about that yesterday. He's saying that they are evil people. He's even brought up genetics and stuff like that. It's getting very, very scary, his rhetoric about Iran. Very alarming. I don't know if you guys are noticing it. So Karg Island does remind me of Snake Island, which happened early on in the Russia-Ukraine proxy war. Snake Island, which was very hard to capture and to defend. You could land forces on Snake Island, but you were exposed. You were sitting ducks if you had military on Snake Island. And that seems to be the situation with Karg Island as well. Any forces that decide to land on Karg Island, it does look like they would be in deep trouble trying to remain on Karg Island. Have you guys seen the maps of Karg Island, what it's like? It's this island about 20 kilometers from Iran, and the entire coast around Karg Island is just mountains. It is just a line of mountain ridges, as you can see on the map that I'm putting up on the screen right now. Very difficult to capture, extremely difficult to keep. You know, Karg Island was attacked 2,800 times during the Iran-Iraq war. So Iraq was really hammering Karg Island during that war. They say it's home to 8,000 people, wild gazelles. There's a Portuguese fort on Karg Island, a very well-preserved Portuguese fort. I believe a Christian monastery is also on Karg Island, one of the oldest Christian monasteries in the world. Has a lot of tombs and catacombs. And oil. And the export of oil. So it does look like there's going to be boots on the ground. Perhaps they will be making a move on Karg Island. Perhaps they will try to grab the uranium located underneath Pickaxe Mountain. I talked about that yesterday, Pickaxe Mountain, okay. Maybe they're going to try and do something else, but the reports from NBC News, as well as the Wall Street Journal, is that the Pentagon announced 2,500 Marines to be deployed to the region. And then they announced 5,000 Marines are going to actually be deployed to the Middle East. A Marine Expeditionary Unit, a unit that specializes in landings, in being the first on the ground. A unit that specializes, my understanding is that they specialize in extractions and stuff like that. 5,000 heading to the Middle East. Boots on the ground. That's what we're seeing. No longer is the boots on the ground thing taboo. That taboo is about to break, and the Trump administration is going to take a massive, massive risk and gamble by sending 5,000 troops somewhere in Iran or close to Iran. Could this be a bluff? Possibly, but I doubt it. Trump seems to be all in. The escalation escalator. Trump posted on Truth Social, Iran had plans of taking over the entire Middle East and completely obliterating Israel, just like Iran itself, those plans are now dead. President Donald J. Trump. Take over the Middle East. That's a new one. So we've moved past a little excursion. And have we moved past Russia's hidden hand? Or are we still on that one? And now we're talking about Iran taking over the entire Middle East. It's no longer about uranium or ballistic missiles. It's taken over the entirety of the Middle East. And Trump keeps on saying how Iran is obliterated. They cannot do anything. They cannot stop the United States. They have no Navy. They have no Air Force. They have no Army. They have no leadership. He keeps on repeating those lines. But what we're seeing is 5,000 Marines ready to invade Iran. They're going to do something. We just don't know what that something is going to be. But whatever it's going to be, it will be very dangerous, I imagine. Trump has taken a very big risk here by putting boots on the ground in Iran. Trump also posted on Truth Social, the fake news media hates to report how well the United States military has done against Iran, which is totally defeated and wants a deal, but not a deal that I would accept. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President DJT. You know, I read all of these posts from Trump, and the only thing that I can think of is panic. I see a president that is absolutely panicking. You can say it all you want, President Trump, that Iran is defeated, they're obliterated, they want a deal, they're begging for a deal. But your actions, the U.S. military actions, are telling a very different story. An Iran that is obliterated and defeated and wants a deal and has no army and no navy and no air force and no nothing and no leadership, well, that would not require the military escalation that we are seeing from the United States. An Iran without a leadership would not require a reward up to $10 million for information on IRGC key leaders. $10 million if you can provide information on the location of IRGC key leaders. I thought their leadership had been obliterated. $10 million, that was the amount for Al Jilani. The FBI put a $10 million bounty on Al Jilani's head. And what happened to Al Jilani? He morphed into Al-Shara, put on a nice suit, trimmed up his beard, and became president of Syria. So yesterday, we saw videos, confirmed, legit videos of Tehran in the city streets of Tehran, and walking amongst the people were Iranian leadership. For example, Pezeshkian and Araghchi, the president of Iran, just walking in the streets with the people of Iran, with the people of Tehran. And Trump is talking about no leadership. But there you have leadership in the city center of Tehran. My eyes must be deceiving me. So we have some B-52s, not the rock band, but the B-52 bombers, long-range bombers, assembling in the UK. Bombers at the RAF Fairford. Three more B-52s are now there, bringing a total of 12. Six on the ground, and a total fleet of 12, and 12 B-1 Lancers. Okay, so six B-52s and 12 B-1 Lancers in the UK. So the UK is a party to this war. no doubt about it. Starmer can talk all he want about all he wants about how the UK is not participating in this conflict, or the UK is trying to stay out of this conflict, but take a look at what's happening at the RAF Fairford base. It looks like Turkey was asked once again to join in the war against Iran. And once again, Turkey has rejected the request from both the United States and Israel. Unlike the UK, they requested for Turkey to at least let them use the air bases in Turkey to launch strikes into Iran. It looks like Erdogan said no. And one of his main reasons for saying no against a conflict with Iran is to avoid some sort of Kurd involvement. The Kurds getting involved, the Kurds being armed. That would pose an existential threat to Turkey. They would prefer to just leave it alone. And that's some pretty smart thinking from Erdogan. Stay out of this one. So Turkey is saying no. Spain has turned down Trump big time. Italy is out. And even little Napoleon Macron is signaling that France is not going to take part in this war against Iran. So Iran's military completely obliterated, but the obliterated military managed to hit 5 U.S. Air Force refueling planes. The planes were on the ground at an airbase in Saudi Arabia, the Prince Sultan Air Base. And an Iranian strike, a missile strike, hit these 5 planes. My understanding is that they have been damaged, but they can be fixed. No casualties from this strike. And Iran also managed to hit the U.S. Embassy in Iraq. And the U.S. Embassy is a fortress in Iraq. It is a city within a city. And a drone, or a couple of drones, managed to strike the embassy in Iraq. We have videos of smoke and fires from the U.S. embassy. So Iran might let certain tankers pass through the Strait of Hormuz. But according to CNN, the requirement for Iran to let tankers pass through the Strait of Hormuz is if those tankers use the Chinese yuan. No more petrodollar, no petrodollar for you. According to CNN, Iran might allow oil through the Strait of Hormuz if it's paid in Chinese yuan. I have no idea how they will do this, how you can do this. But sure, if you pay for everything with Chinese yuan and stay away from the USD, then we will let your tanker, your oil, move through the Strait of Hormuz. That's a big troll of Trump. That's going to anger Trump. That's going to anger the United States. But that's the message that Iran is putting out there, according to CNN. We are also getting reports from the Gulf nations, where Qatar is now saying that in a couple of days they will have to declare force majeure on their oil exports. Everybody that has not called for force majeure, we expect will do so in the next few days if the war continues. Saad bin Al-Kabi, Qatar's oil minister, told reporters all exporters in the Gulf region will have to call force majeure. All exporters, every single one. So if Trump hits the oil infrastructure in Karg Island, you know what Iran's going to do. They're going to smash all of the oil infrastructure in the Gulf countries. It's exactly what they're going to do. With every U.S. escalation, you get a proportional Iranian escalation. So we could be seeing Iran's oil off the market, smashed up. We could be seeing the Gulf countries' oil off the market, force majeure. We could be seeing the Gulf countries' oil infrastructure smashed up. And this could all be happening in the next couple of weeks if Trump continues this path that he is on. And he does seem to be obsessed, possessed with Iran. The Iran regime change narrative has overtaken U.S. President Trump. It's consumed him. It's taken him way off whatever agenda he had for the United States and for America first. You can forget about all of that. His presidency now, if this continues to escalate, and once you get boots on the ground, you're not going back. This is going to be a long war. And his entire presidency is just going to be this Iran war if he continues this way. And it is getting expensive as well. The costs are adding up. $11 billion in 1 week. And that's a very conservative, lowball estimate. So Axios, they had a scoop yesterday. Axios is very close to the Trump White House. They get all the scoops. I don't get any scoops. Axios gets all the scoops. But then again, I'm here in Cyprus, and I guess Axios has probably got an office in the White House or something. But anyway, they came up with a scoop. They came out with a scoop. Trump rejected Putin's offer to move Iran's uranium to Russia. So according to Axios, Trump rejected a Putin proposal to transfer 450 kg of 60% enriched uranium held by Iran to Russia as part of a deal to end the war. Iran's stockpile could produce more than 10 nuclear weapons if further enriched. So Axios is reporting that Russia is pretty much the only country, or the best positioned country, to actually take this uranium. And the offer from Putin to Trump was, look, if this is really about the uranium, then we'll take it over. And you know that we can take this uranium and make sure that it is in safe hands, and it would be in safe hands with Russia. And then the war ends. Problem solved, right? If this was about Iran getting nuclear weapons and enriched uranium, you don't have to send Marines into Pickaxe Mountain. We don't need to continue to escalate. We can open up the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. military can return back home. Iranian missiles stop flying. Drones stop flying into GCC countries. It all comes to an end. Trump, you can declare victory. You can say, I accomplished the goal, which was always about Iranian nuclear weapons. And now we have the uranium under the care of Russia, of Moscow. You can even probably have IAEA officials making sure that everything is taken to Russia. And that would be it. Problem solved. Very simple. Very simple, straightforward. And Trump rejected it. He rejected it because it's not about the uranium. Another off-ramp provided by Putin, and another off-ramp that Trump refused to take. How many off-ramps has Putin provided Trump since he became president? Whether it be Ukraine or Iran, how many freaking off-ramps? 10, 20 off-ramps? Project Ukraine, he's had 20 off-ramps Putin has given him. I'm exaggerating. About 3 or 4 off-ramps Putin has provided Trump with Project Ukraine. But nope, Trump has refused to take any off-ramps. most notable off-ramp was Alaska, right? For which Putin thought that they had an agreement in Alaska, and Trump walked away from it. They agreed for 24 hours, and then Trump went back to D.C. and he changed his mind. Can't make an agreement with the United States, with the Trump administration. Can't negotiate with them, because if you negotiate with them, then you have to worry about some sort of drone strike or missile strike. You have to worry for your life if you sit down at a negotiating table with Witkoff or Kushner. And you can't sign any deals with the United States, be it Minsk, be it the JCPOA. Come to an agreement in Alaska, an understanding in Alaska. Nope. The Trump administration, they walk everything back. They change their minds almost daily on just about everything. So the Financial Times put out an article with the title, How Iran's Fight Back Has Surprised the U.S. No one has done more with less than the Iranians, said a former chief of staff at a U.S. Special Forces Command Center. Yeah, Trump is surprised. The U.S. is surprised at Iran's ability to fight back, to retaliate, to avoid a regime change. They did not collapse in the opening weekend of Trump's decapitation strikes and the killing of their supreme leader. This has surprised the Trump White House and the U.S. military. They thought everything was going to collapse in a weekend. Now they're on the escalation escalator. Escalation escalator. So a lot of people are wondering what is going on with Netanyahu. Actually, a better question is where is Netanyahu? Where is Netanyahu? It's a lot of rumors, but they're rumors. But those rumors are growing. Was that video an AI? Was his video speech that he gave yesterday? Some accounts say it was real. Other accounts say that parts of it appear to be AI. There are other accounts which say that the AI parts were some sort of a fake news. It was inserted into social media, manipulating the original video. I have no idea. I have no idea what is going on. I will say this. Netanyahu does seem to have disappeared. You have the statement yesterday, or 2 days ago, which a lot of people are debating and discussing. I'm not sure what happened with that video, but he's not appearing as regularly as one might have thought he would be appearing and speaking to the media. Meeting with military officials, videos of him meeting with military officials, right? Israel is in a war. They're now in a big war in Lebanon against Hezbollah. And you would think that you would see videos of Netanyahu sitting with commanders and strategizing and stuff like that, but you're not seeing any of that stuff. And that's leading many people to ask questions, to wonder what is going on with Netanyahu. I imagine in a couple of days we'll find out. Either he's going to show up in order to dispel the rumors, or he will remain missing. So Arachi, he posted on X, the U.S. spent months on bullying India into ending oil imports from Russia. After 2 weeks of war with Iran, White House is now begging the world, including India, to buy Russian crude. Europe thought backing the illegal war on Iran would win U.S. support against Russia. Pathetic. And he references the Financial Times article from the other day. Oil windfall gives Russia $150 million a day. Pathetic, says Arachi. Pathetic, yeah. The vassals thought that they would win favor from the United States. And the United States, in order to try and keep the price of oil under $100. They said, release the Russian oil, release the Russian oil, release it, said Scott Bessent, but just temporarily. Temporarily, and Putin's not going to make any money, I promise you. Putin will not make any money. India can buy the oil, they can refine the Russian oil. But trust me, Russia's not going to make any money. I'm telling you, Russia's not going to make any money, said Bessent. And it's just going to be temporary. Temporary. That's it. No need to panic, Europe. But Europe panicked. And Europe is upset. And Macron said yesterday, as he was meeting with Le Gobelin Vert, Macron said that there is no chance of sanctions being lifted against Russia from the EU. Europe will not lift oil sanctions. Nope. They don't care. Even if the price of oil goes to 150, goes to 200, Macron is saying, no way. No way are we going to lift any sanctions that we have on Russian oil. Let the people pay. Let the people pay for the increase in everything. Macron doesn't care. What does Macron care? He doesn't have to pay. And no one's going to vote him out. That's what all the European leaders say. All the EU leaders say. What do we care? No one can vote us out. Peter Szijjártó, he is urging the foreign minister of Hungary for Ursula and the cool kids in Brussels to do as the U.S. did and to lift sanctions on Russian energy, oil, gas, all of it, even temporarily. That was Szijjártó's post on X. He knows it's not going to happen, but he's just he's putting the post out there to be on record so that he can say, you see, when the price of oil goes to 150 or 200, and citizens in Europe are pulling their hair saying, what is going on here? Why is everything so expensive? Lift the damn sanctions. Szijjártó and Orbán can say, you see, we told Ursula to lift the sanctions on Russian oil. She wouldn't do it. She would not do it. Now we have shortages. Can't get Russian oil, can't get Russian gas, can't get Qatar gas, can't get Qatar, Saudi, Kuwait oil, can't get Iran oil. Trump decides, he wakes up one morning and decides not to send gas to Europe, because that's Trump. He just wakes up one morning and says no US LNG to Europe either. Yeah, Europe is screwed. The EU is screwed. No Druzhba pipeline. So speaking about Project Ukraine, the Russian military, they launched a huge missile strike into Kiev, and they smashed Kiev's energy facilities. So there were blackouts in Kiev, and in Ukraine, Kiev, the major cities in Ukraine are pretty much without air defense, or they are getting to the point where they will have no more air defense, because everything is being sent to the Middle East. The Patriot systems, the interceptors, it's all being redirected to the Middle East. So Russia is going to take advantage of this, and they're going to be able to strike at will, whatever targets they want to hit at. And yesterday, they smashed energy facilities in Kiev. So there was the video of Scott Bessent with Sky News. He was being interviewed by Sky News reporter, and then he was called into the Situation Room. He was called to a meeting with Trump, where Trump wanted to have a word with him. And Bessent returned to the interview with Sky News about an hour or so later to continue the interview. And Bessent, he was visibly shaken. He could barely speak. He was stuttering and he couldn't get the words out after the meeting with Trump. I wonder how that went. And he was trying to tell Sky News that everything is fine, the war is going well, Trump is confident, we're winning. No one believed him. Not even the Sky News propaganda reporter believed Besant. So Vance appeared. He's been missing for a good 10 days. It seems like he's been missing for 10 days. He appeared and spoke to the media, gave a speech. He didn't really talk so much about the war, the Iran war, at least the videos that I've seen. Doesn't have Vance getting into too much detail about the Iran war. He talked a little bit about the price of oil. Talked about how Joe Biden, under the Biden presidency, the price of oil was very high, and then Trump brought it back down. So we should be thanking Trump because Trump was able to bring the price of oil down. And now he's starting a war with Iran, and he's going to bring the price of oil back up. But anyway, that was Vance's point there. And he was not really telling much about the Iran war or his support for Trump's actions in starting this war. My sense is that Vance was putting out the message that, you know, I was cut out of the decision making of this war in the Situation Room. He said he was there, but he can't really tell anybody what was decided or how this was all decided. That's how he left it when he was asked about the decision to go to war with Iran. He wasn't speaking in the way that Trump is speaking, or in the way that Hegseth, who's gone full maniac, or Rubio, or any of these guys that are talking about destroying Iran and obliterating Iran and all of these things. Vance really didn't go there, which was interesting. He also talked about Project Ukraine and how Trump wants the war in Ukraine to end. Okay, whatever. No one's buying that anymore. No one believes that. And we can get into a clown world now. I guess we can segue to a clown world. And Trump is on holiday. I believe he's taking a holiday. One second. Palm Beach. Of course, wherever Trump is, gotta imagine he'll be briefed and he will also be making statements to media, so we'll still get the slogans and the sound bites from the U.S. president, even if he is on holiday. So Trump did take a few minutes out of his busy schedule to sit down and do an interview with Jake Paul. Yes, Jake Paul or Logan Paul. I always get those two confused, mixed up. The guy that's the boxer. I think it's Jake Paul. That's the boxer. Yeah, that's who he decided to give an interview to. Jake Paul. Tough interview, huh? Tough interview with Jake Paul. And Trump. Very alarming rhetoric coming from the President of the United States, Trump on Iran. We support gays, but they throw gays off the buildings. We have to wipe out the evil. It's an evil curse. They're evil people. This language is really, really scary. Trump's language is becoming freaking scary. No one is talking about the language that Trump is using. Is anyone talking about it? I'm talking about it. I don't like it. His language is really scaring me. So one more clown world, and that is Le Gobelin Vert. I seem to be going between my past couple of videos have been Trump and Le Gobelin Vert. Le Gobelin Vert and Trump. I'm starting to see a pattern. Anyway, Alensky, he met with the Fresh Prince of Langley. the Iranian prince or king or whatever he is in exile, the prince, fresh prince, Pahlavi in Paris. So Alensky flies to Paris, meets with Macron, hugs Macron, gets comforted by Macron. You smell very good, Volodymyr. It is Alensky number 5, Emmanuel. I brought you some bottles. Here you go. I don't need Alensky number 5, Volodymyr. I've got Dior Sauvage. Dior Sauvage, very good. I like that. Have you tried Kaya Kallas' new fragrance? No, I have not. What is it called? I believe it is called Essence by Kaya Kallas. Essence by Kaya Kallas. A couple of sprays, and you lower your... I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, and then he meets in Paris. He meets with the fresh prince of Langley. Do I even need to say anything? Do I even need to add any commentary to this clown world? Oh, what a world we live in. What a world we live in. Anyway, I will leave it there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble and Telegram and X. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. Look for us on Substack. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.